So let's talk about employees who are not qualified. In this case, a First Circuit case on page 28, it was actually a Burger King franchise. The manager of that franchise had mental health issues, actually resulting from an armed robbery during his employment for this employer. And he requested a fixed day work schedule. The reason for that was it assisted him to manage his mental health issues to have a consistent sleep schedule. The company, Burger King, initially granted that request, but continued to insist that rotating shifts were an essential function. The court ultimately held the manager was not a qualified individual because he couldn't perform an essential function, the rotating shifts, of that position. Again, to be qualified, must be able to perform those essential functions. How did we get there? The employer said, look, the fixed day shift accommodation disproportionately burdens other managers. The reason that we rotate this schedule is so that not everyone is working the late night shift. It was deemed to be unreasonable to accommodate that request when it would disproportionately burden the other managers. The employer also pointed to newspaper advertisements and job applications, including the shift rotation. So a good practice point here, if you want to deem a function essential, take a look at your job applications and your job postings to ensure that it is listed. Also, a theme you'll see throughout today's presentation, an important one in the era of the coronavirus, the temporary accommodation of a fixed shift assignment did not render that function non-essential. So to encourage employers to accommodate employees on a temporary basis, okay, to temporarily remove an essential function. I will give strong advice here. If you're going to do that, be sure it's clearly communicated that that accommodation is temporary and will be discontinued at a specific point in time. Qualified individual, another case, a circuit case out of the Sixth Circuit, Booth v. Nissan North America. Here, the question was whether an employee was a qualified individual to be reasonably accommodated, even though he had permanent work restrictions. He was an assembly line worker with a neck injury resulting in permanent restrictions on reaching and overhead work, but the employer accommodated those restrictions for over a 10-year period. The employer, a car manufacturer, determined to reallocate job functions, basically to rework the way the assembly line was structured, to go from a two-door process to a four-door process, which would require employees on that line to do reaching and overhead work on their left side, which was the primary restrictions for this employee. As a result, the employee couldn't perform the reassigned position. For a period of time, the employer accommodated him, allowing him to continue the two-door position functions. During that time, he sought a transfer to a more desirable position for which he had the seniority, but the company said, no, due to your restrictions, you cannot perform that position you were seeking transfer to. And ultimately, the employee was able to modify those work restrictions through medical certification by a doctor, allowing him to eventually perform that four-door position. He argued, however, that he was discriminated against based on his disability, and the court looked to him and said, you've been accommodated, you can work. A substantial limitation in the major life activity of performing that specific four-door function did not render you disabled simply because you had a work limitation as to your single specific job did not make you disabled from the standpoint of being substantially limited in the major life activity of working. So just a good reminder here that having restrictions doesn't automatically make an employee disabled. An individual, again, you'll see through this line of cases that employees are not qualified if a reasonable accommodation cannot allow them to perform their essential job functions. In prior, it's a district court case out of Indiana. There was a Lyft truck operator who worked the forklift in a facility that had a freezer. As part of his work, he suffered severe frostbite on one of his hands due to working in a freezer for an extended period with a defective glove. That employee went through a variety of return to work options, in which he worked part-time in the freezer, part-time out, about 50% of each hour in and out. But ultimately, a doctor imposed a permanent restriction of not working in the deep cold area of the freezer for more than 30 minutes per day. However, working in the freezer for extended periods was an essential function of that position. And again, I go back to focusing on job descriptions here. The job description was clear that working in the freezer for an extended period was required. In addition, the employee's actual experience required about 60% or more of his time working in the deep cold, as evidenced by the fact that he was injured in that work, deep cold, prior to his seeking this accommodation. So 30 minutes per day, just a small fraction of his working time per day, could not be accommodated. It was not reasonable given the essential function of being in that freezer during the day. So reassignment to the non-freezer position, in this case, not reasonable because there were no vacant positions, and I'll get to that in a moment.